The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Bill Flash, Tim Kalishaw, Frank Isola, L. Duncan. Look at this slide from Trey Turner.
Woo!
From every angle. It's just love at first sight, isn't it?
I mean, it's ballet.
Yeah. I hate to see Trey Turner go, but I don't mind watching him slide away. Oh, let's go!
It's electric.
Trey Turner's right where he should be, headed to the World Series.
Easy, Bill Flash.
Get another
We'll get to that in a second. Yesterday's news that the NFL is going to crack down on taunting. You think this was all about Antoine Winfield Jr. giving the deuces to Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl? NFL promises more flags and two strikes and you're out ejections, and then suspensions are in play for players who taunt. Here's another play the league flagged to be flagged. If it happens this season, in the video they sent two teams, L. Duncan, around the horn to you. Is the NFL smart to tamp taunting down?
Maybe a couple years ago when it was an actual problem. This is so stupid. This is like the government just now saying, you know what, guys, file sharing is a problem and we're really going to crack down on it. 20 years after Napster, you're so late. 3 years ago, there were 20 taunting calls, right? So they decided they were going to crack down and make it an emphasis. And guess what? It worked, because over the last two seasons, there have only been 20 penalties called in those two seasons combined. They're talking about, well, you're going to be ejected from these games if you get two. Nobody's had two taunting penalties in over 20 years. This was an unnecessary authoritarian flex for absolutely no reason. And it's so weird that a league that would basically acknowledge and ask these teams to have choreographed touchdown celebrations would somehow clutch their pearls because you flex in someone's face. Come on.
And just to be clear here, that Napster reference you made, L. Duncan, that is too old for half of our audience. And the other half of our audience is too old to even get it. Flashy is like, what are you talking about? Bill, let's bring you in here. Go ahead.
Yes, I was like, what are you talking about? L, the flexing, the bottom line is taunting leads to violent behavior. Baseball believes that they penalize it. Basketball believes that they penalize it. The NFLPA has agreed with this. So the players, far be it for me to say anything, the players themselves want this policed. This is something that could lead to trouble. It's something that could lead to, you know, to more fighting. It's his history proves it. And what happened was in the Super Bowl, it was embarrassing what happened in the Super Bowl. And I think this was the impetus.
So you do think, okay, I was asking that.
It doesn't mean they're going to call any more taunting plays, but I think it's a smart move to put the players on watch. It's not acceptable. Even the players agree.
Well, I know you want to get back in there and taunt all over Plaschke's argument, but first, Tim Kalishaw.
Yeah, I'm going to go with L. Duncan on this one, and I'm just glad her pearl-clutching reference wasn't about me for once. We're not saying, Bill, to get rid of the taunting penalty. We're just saying, why do they make an announcement? Why do they say this is going to be a point of emphasis this year? As L said, less than one taunting call per week, not per game, per week last year. And they're acting like it's out of control. None of us like players just going nuts, and they should be penalized. But they're acting like we got to stop this epidemic right now. That's crazy.
And Frank Isola.
You know, it's funny. Elle wins a lot on the show. She taunts a lot. That's why she's okay with it. Tim's from Dallas. That's why he's going to taunt. Here's the thing with the NFL. It's a point of emphasis. So they're telling the players, this is something in these, you know, wackadoo preseason games that we're going to play. Watch out. Maybe early in the season. The last thing they want is in a playoff game, especially maybe the Super Bowl like we saw last year, a play like that cost a team a game. So they're warning the players, alerting them, watch yourself because we're watching you. I don't think there's anything
You don't
wrong.
Think there's anything wrong. You're all right with this. L. Duncan, back in.
Again, it's not about the taunting itself. It's about the timing. They weren't doing any taunting. What are you talking about? It's like they just wanted to be upset and just wanted to yell, get off my lawn, for no reason. And Plaschke, you mentioned the other leagues and they have rules too. That's because flopping in soccer is terrible and awful, and so is flopping in NBA. But fans love taunting.
Frank, I'll let you get the last word in here.
Okay, so fans love it. So fans love it. They should allow everything fans love. Players, it's a danger to players. It's a player's safety issue. That's the bottom line. You don't want players fighting back, trying to hit with their heads, all that. That's why baseball does it. That's why basketball does it. Football, good for them.
Frank, last word.
Yeah, and it was one of the last images of the Super Bowl. So I think L is right. It doesn't happen that often. Again, they want to keep it out of some of these bigger games.
Everything that happened in the Super Bowl, that's what you remember. Okay, all right.
You showed it. You're the one who showed us the highlight.
I know. I was providing context because people of your ilk have been talking about it. But I just want to be clear here. You walked away from that Super Bowl, Tom Brady winning, and the Chiefs. We're saying, oh, man, yeah, the deuces from Antoine Winfield Jr. Okay.
But the taunting.
We'll move on. Packers can't. This throw from Jordan Love. It's funny how none of us have seen Love in a uniform because he didn't suit up for any game last year, but also at the same time, local TV in Green Bay is showing practices like it's the NFC Championship game. Well, here it is, all right? You know Rodgers won't play this preseason, so we're told to expect heavy play coming from Jordan Love. Tim, what do the Packers need to see from Love? What does Love need to do this preseason?
They need to cross their fingers, and they also need to bring down their expectations because the players that could make Jordan Love look really good, running back Aaron Rodgers, wide receiver Devontae Adams, what are they going to play, a quarter and a half out of three games? They're not going to be on the field much. He'll be with second teamers and maybe even, third string wide receivers. So just get out there, don't get hurt, look like you know what you're doing, and everybody needs to calm down on the idea he's going to come out and look like, you know, even 60% of Aaron Rodgers.
And, of course, it's Aaron Jones in the backfield, not Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Jones.
Frank Isola, what do you think the Packers want to see from Love, and what do you think is a reasonable expectation?
Yeah, it's incredible, right? You really don't get much intrigue out of these games. But here we have a guy who everyone wants to see play, knowing that unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, is never going to play this season. So Love is in a tough spot because I think it's going to be hard for him to satisfy a lot of people. And if he doesn't play well, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you sit back and say, now you guys really appreciate how great I am because this is the guy they picked to replace me. And look how much he's struggling now in these meaningless preseason games.
Bill, if you could start out from the Packers' perspective here, right? They're of course, now in with Rodgers for this year. Now they are. But next year, they're thinking maybe it's Love. What do you think they need to see?
They need to see him do anything but what he did in the public scrimmage recently when he mishandled the ball three times with 30,000 people watching. He needs to stay upright. He needs to hold on to the ball. Packer executives are going to be holding their breaths. All of football is watching this. This is really intriguing. I can't wait for it. But the Packers, they need just to see him stay upright, hold on to the ball, make a few passes. Like Tim said, he's not playing with much. They just don't need to see him embarrass himself because that would embarrass them.
Nell Duncan.
This kid hasn't played in a year and a half, Flashke. Like, yeah, he mishandled the ball, right? But he also made some really good throws. Listen, this whole situation, I think, is so unfair to Jordan Love. And it has reminded me this entire time of something my mom used to say to us all the time growing up, right? An F up on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine. Just because the Packers ruined their relationship with Aaron Rodgers does not mean that Jordan Love is now beholden to some timeline that involves him having to somehow be Peyton Manning in the preseason or, the fate of the franchise is over. Like, y'all stop it. This is absolutely insane to me. To your point, Tim, nobody's going to really play. This is completely unfair. The kid hasn't played in a long time. He's damned if he do and he's damned if he doesn't because if he plays really well, we'll all go, it's preseason. And if he doesn't, we'll all go, he sucks.
Flashke, last word after the horde.
He's only the third quarterback first-round pick in the last 15 years not to play a game in his first season. So there's a lot of people watching. We've
asking
gotta see
him
got.
To play is not asking too much, right, El? I mean, you say you feel bad for him. It's his job to do play. That.
It's not, it's not asking too much at all. Okay. What I'm saying, though, is for us to say the fate of whether they'll feel good about the future of the franchise hinging on the preseason, that's insane, you guys. It's an overreach.
I'm not sure if anybody is exactly saying that, but all right.
I'm sort of saying that.
I was kidding.
Flashke is saying it.
I was kidding. We'll move on.
Baseball.
The Boston Red Sox struggling. Over the last 15 games, their win percentage is .267. Blew another game last night with a little slop and drop. The Rays are just running out ahead now in the AL East. The Jays are coming on strong. The Yankees are there too, but they've got a COVID issue every day and injuries. Frank, Boston's been in the playoff spot for months. Is this a regression to the mean here, though? Are they in danger of losing it?
Yeah. I want to kick, you know, dirt on their grave, especially since there are so many New England people that work at ESPN. But guess what? They're getting Chris Sale back this weekend, so that's a big-time starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. Their offense will come around. They're always going to hit at some point. I would be concerned a little bit about the bullpen. Matt Barnes, last four games, 7 earned runs. And what worried me about last night, throwing to the wrong base, errors in the field, those are concentration mistakes. I think everything else will come around. That tells me the team is a little down, but Chris Sale returning will change
a lot. Bill Plaschke?
No, Frank. This is who they are. This is not just some anomaly. This is why they didn't make any moves. They needed the bullpen help at the deadline. They needed first base help at the deadline. They didn't make any moves because management knows they don't want to trade any prospects because this is what they are. They're very weak starting pitching. This is not a collapse. They're one of the worst teams in baseball in the last month. And again, this is a regression to the mean. At the beginning of the season, nobody thought they'd do anything anyway. Suddenly everybody's thinking they have a 95 minus run differential to the Toronto Blue Jays who trail them right now. They're not going to make the playoffs, and nobody should be surprised.
Al Duncan.
Ooh.
Yeah, so on Sunday, after they had just wrapped up a 2-8 road trip and lost to the Blue Jays, Alex Cora was asked, is this the worst loss of the season, right? And then yesterday, after they gave up 4 in the 9th to the Rays, he was asked, does it get any lower than this? And it feels like we're just running out of ways to ask Alex Cora how much he hates it here. So I would say that the Red Sox really sort of overachieved early on in the season. They took advantage of Yankees that were banged up and a Rays that were sort of trying to figure out their sequencing a little bit. And they got really, really big performances from just dudes. And that's not an insult, but their bullpen was filled with dudes that they were getting a lot more from than they are now. Now they're just sort of pitching like the guys we all sort of.
So you believe regression to the mean here?
She agrees with me.
I think this is just aggression. I for once agree with Plaschke here that they just stayed the same and everyone else.
You got full Plaschke. Never go full Plaschke, old Duncan. Frank Isola, how about you?
How about me? The Red Sox.
The
Red Sox. The Red Sox are who we thought they were. Yeah. It took a while to see, but I was watching all year, even when they're in first. Okay, who's pitching today? Rodriguez with an ERA of 5. Who's pitching tomorrow? Former Ranger bust Martin Perez with an ERA of 5. Where they? I don't know how they survived with what they had. And as others have said, Matt Barnes, who was basically a villain in Fenway 2 years ago and had a good first half this year, he's starting to look like that other guy, and they probably need to switch to Adam Ottavino for their closer.
They have been wearing him out. I believe he pitched 4 days in a row. That's asking a lot in August. Frank Isola, last word.
Never discount Chris Sale not being there. It's the same thing with the Mets. Jacob deGrom, the minute he went out, they're losing. Knowing that you have that rock every 5 games is huge for a team in their cycle.
Uh-oh.
Things will change.
Frank just invoked the name of the Mets. Uh-oh. The name of the Mets and Red Sox. How bad could it get? Taking a break here. Point of emphasis coming up in buy or sell. Maybe don't get muted. We'll be back.
Thanks for letting me play.
We go right to the showdown.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Buy or sell 1, the Boston Celtics made a big change this summer. Brad Stevens moving upstairs from coach to GM. His first moves, trading Kemba Walker and his contract for Al Horford. Their only draft pick was number 45, Juan Bagarin of France. Traded for Josh Richardson from Dallas. And yesterday, signing Dennis Schroeder. Frank, buy or sell Stevens and Boston's offseason.
Yeah, let's not forget hiring Ime Udoka as the head coach as well. Their team is all going to be about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown getting better. But getting Dennis Schroeder for $5.9 million, that's an absolute steal. He's a good player. That ended up being a very good move for him.
So you like the Schroeder move. Duncan, how about you?
Yeah, I think the move was good. He got lucky, right? Like, so did Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka got lucky that Dennis Schroeder turned down that contract, gambled on himself poorly, because then he didn't have to pay Dennis Schroeder $84 million. I don't think it made the Celtics these moves, going back and getting Al Horford, going back and then getting in his candidate. They just feel like they're sort of treading water at this point. So they're good moves, but let's not, like, anoint him as, like, a great GM yet, no?
Okay. Bill Plaschke, how about you?
For the final three playoff games for the Lakers last year, Schroeder was a minus 51, including going 0-9 in arguably the biggest game of the season. Frank, you said he said it's a steal. I think he's going to steal from – I don't think it's a steal. I think he's an ordinary player, and I think –
How did
sure
every Laker
Boston
do in that playoff series?
Anthony Davis was hurt.
Kalishaw.
It's good that Plaschke has found the culprit for why the Lakers didn't win a title last year. Schroeder was a 19-point-a-game scorer 2 years ago. The whole problem with the Celtics last year when guys got hurt is they had no bench. Now they've got a lot of big men. They got three potential centers. They got Josh Richardson coming off the bench. Schroeder coming off the bench behind Marcus Smart. I like
that. So you guys like these moves. See, when I brought this story up, I thought everybody was down on what the Celtics were doing this offseason. And El brings up the point, don't give Brad Stevens flowers. I didn't think anybody was. But then I sold in Kalishaw, so maybe I got to get the points back. Buy or sell two. Speaking of the Lakers, Plaschke, Russell Westbrook's intro in Los Angeles. Have we ever seen Russ show such a sustained smile? He was beaming yesterday. It was great to see. Everybody wonders how the ball is going to be divided between Russ, LeBron, Davis, Melo, everybody. Bill, does Russ's excitement here make you believe it's going to work?
No, not yet. I was there, and it was cool to see him being sentimental with his family. But I asked him if he has anything to prove. And he didn't say he had to prove to anyone a championship. He didn't say he had to prove he can play with LeBron and AD. And he says he wants to still be his own man and be himself. I'm not sure this is going to work.
Tim Kalishaw.
I think it's going to work better than people think in the regular season, because a team that old with eight guys 32 and over, there's guys that are going to get hurt and guys who are going to sit, and Russell plays hard every night. When it comes to the playoff time and his 30% three-point shooting is out there with LeBron, not so much.
Frank?
Oh, Timmy, you're so right. That's why Kendrick Nunn, Malik Monk will definitely help the Lakers. But Russell Westbrook, a ball-dominant guard that doesn't shoot threes. So what's going to happen when he's in the game with LeBron James late in the playoff game? I'm not so sure it's going
to
work.
But to hear him speak so highly of LeBron, of course, L, and to have that smile on it, just being home in Los Angeles, do you think that can turn him into – we saw Melo metamorphosize before our eyes the last couple seasons. Could Russ –
Tony, you're such a romantic. How adorable. He's going to be in the Staples Center, and magically he's going to change everything about the way that he plays. Magically, just like that, it's going to happen. No, I don't know. Listen, I think that Brody can provide the same thing that the producers are literally screaming in our ear right now. Pace. Because this was a very slow Lakers team, and he can speed them up. And because of his cutting ability, to Frank's point, he will actually create some easier shots for LeBron and AD, which will hide the fact that they're not a great person.
Little pace can be romantic as well, L. Buy or sell three, optimism in Indianapolis. Carson Wentz, no boot, no limp. Now we're hearing he could start week one after he had surgery a week and a half ago. And same for Quentin Nelson, who's also recovering from surgery. Optimism there. Tim, what are you hearing with this optimism from Indianapolis?
You know, it was always an injury that had a big range of when he could come back. I hope he's back for the opener. I hope we get to see if Frank Reich has the secret sauce when it comes to Carson Wentz. Because he had it in Philadelphia a few years ago, and he certainly lost it. We want to see what happens now.
Plaschke.
It's their whole season on the line with this guy. If he doesn't play, they're not making the playoffs. They have to be optimistic, give them their due. We'll see what happens.
Duncan.
I'm seeing a PR team that was like, yo, can we give the fans something to look forward to? Because this target for Carson Wentz is moving. And now yesterday, after Sam Ehlinger gets a couple snaps, now all of a sudden, don't worry, guys. We're not going to have to start the season with either one of these guys. Carson Wentz should be able to come back. It just feels like they don't know.
Solo.
It's great that he's back with Frank Reich. The problem that he hasn't solved yet is that he's injury prone. He hasn't even played a game for them yet, and he's already recovering from an injury. That's the biggest problem with Carson.
Biggest problem with Kalishaw and Duncan today? They didn't get to 30. That was what was apparently needed to,
no taunting,
to make the showdown in the show. Flashkey, Isola, 30 for 31.
New York, LA.
Showdown next.
Taunting.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Trey Turner's slide. Bill Plaschke, what is the best part?
Woohoo! Three things, Tony. The way he pops up, the fact that the Dodgers tweeted out lyrics from the BTS song Butter, and the fact that it's better than Buster Posey's slide.
Oh, little Dodger Giant hate there. I like where you're going there, Plaschke. Isola, go ahead.
It's much better than Posey's slide.
The best thing is he got his hand down, so he was safe. It was majestic. You know what it looked like? Remember from the Euro, the Italian Federico Chiesa, who scored two goals and did that beautiful slide? That's what it kind of looked
like. Now you're speaking to my heart here. Perfect. Now you're speaking to my heart.
What's he talking about?
Safe.
Nobody, I'm on your knees on a soccer pitch. The grass is so perfect, you could slide. But I've never seen a baseball slide. Plaschke, you're right. It's better than the posies. I don't know what Giants television is trying to do here. But Trey Turner's slide was the best.
I know what they're trying to do.
We'll move on. Number one versus number two in the summer league. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green went head-to-head. Went at each other a bit. Jalen Green talked after the game about how he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, that Cunningham went ahead of him. Cunningham had 20. Green had 25. Green's Rockets got the win. And speaking of the Rockets, look at number 16 pick, Alperen Şengün, making his presence felt as well. Frank, who impressed you most?
I'll tell you what, the Turkish kid Şengün was pretty good. But Jalen Green, he looked like a guy that spent a year in the G League working on his game. 25 points on only 11 shots, and he knocked down 10 of 11 free throws. There you go. A guy coming into the
nice
league.
Nice games
who can
make, by all. Nice games by all. None of them as good as the guy who's going to be Rookie of the Year, Jalen Suggs. I think he scored 24 for Orlando in the Summer League. He's the player to watch this year in the Summer League. He's going to be Rookie of the Year. Jalen Suggs.
That wasn't the question.
It's a point of emphasis now to answer the question, Bill Plaschke. But the way
you did it. No, but I'm thinking outside the box. I got a great 30 seconds, Tony. You better let me win this. I got a great 30 seconds.
Let him have it. Let him have it.
Plaschke, let's see if you deliver on this great FaceTime. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay, coming on Thursday. Baseball is going to return with the Yankees and White Sox to play the game at the Field of Dreams out in Iowa. I've been there. I've written stories about it. I was there one time, and an old man directed me back to a barn and behind the Field of Dreams. In the barn, there are old gloves, bats, balls, caps. People leave there, have left their stuff there for years. It's a sacred place. God bless the Field of Dreams.
Was that worth it, guys? That there's old stuff in a barn in Iowa?
Bill left his sports coat there.